This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Come get some. Beware,
IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. I'm joined today by Justin Davis.
Scoop.
Dan Stapleton.
That's me.
Greg Miller.
Yeah.
We've got a great show planned for you today. We're going to be talking about Gears of War. We'll talk about some PS4 rumors. But first, this gentleman right here wrote an article this week.
It's rude to point.
Wow. An article this week called Six of the Biggest Video Game Reversals.
Mm.
It's the number one article on IGN this week. What's a video game?
Or something.
Yeah.
What's a video game reversal? Is that like in Street Fighter when someone tries to grab you, but then you like flip them over your shoulder
it's like a
instead?
Parry.
Yeah.
That's a throw.
Okay.
A parry?
Yeah, well, so
it's like a combo breaker.
We always like to write articles on IGN that like hit on conversations that people already have with themselves, and this is just something we've been talking about. When it started early,
Greg, what's the biggest video game reversal? Well, Greg, let me tell you, get out of our head. Oh, my head in the wall. Stop talking. Trying to drive a car.
So that happened one day, and we were like, oh yeah, that'd be a good.
If we get the conversation out of his head,
imagine if we had two people talking.
It came from the SimCity thing, is what started earlier this month, where they announced that SimCity was going to have, hey, good news, guys. We're finally bringing an offline mode to SimCity. And we're like, wait, not only did they say that they weren't going to do that, but we wanted to look back at what the actual quotes were. And not only did they say, you know, they weren't interested in doing that, they said it would be impossible. Mm-hmm. The game was made from the ground up with online in mind. It just simply wasn't going to be possible for an offline mode to come. And then now there's an offline mode.
Because of the fans. The fans drove it to happen.
Sure, and that is a point. This article made a lot of people kind of mad, and that's something I do want to point out. What?
Wait, why are they mad? Like, it's just a little article.
Well, one of the people we called out got mad at Justin on Twitter.
Well, we'll get to that. I did point out in the article that most of these reversals were poking fun at the companies for, you know, being so adamant that this is never going to happen, and then it happens. But most of this news is good news for gamers. It's a sign that they listen to gamers and that they found a way, you know, to eventually give people what they wanted. And so it is poking a little bit of fun at them, but it wasn't meant to be like a mean thing. It was just meant to be like, hey, look at their quote versus what the reality is now. And most of these changes are going to make better games.
Yeah, it's like I think it's kind of uplifting because you look at some of the stuff we don't like that comes out now, and like this proves that we can convince these companies to reverse their decisions if that things go wrong and that didn't turn out to be what gamers want.
It's a double-edged sword because it's stuff like, I think Diablo 3 is going to be a much better game without the real money auction house.
Well, it already is on console.
And so
Diablo 3 was the second reversal.
Yeah, so Diablo 3, like their quotes are like, this is going to make it a much better game. And then a year later, this might have been a bad idea. And then a few months later, yeah, this was definitely a bad idea.
Well, yeah, their quote was, the Real Money Auction House ultimately undermines Diablo's core gameplay, which is kill monsters to get cool loot.
Yeah.
Yep.
So when is that, out of the game now? Is that...
So on the console version, it was never in.
It was never in.
They're going to patch it out on the PC version. Actually, I'm not sure if they already have.
I don't think they have. I think it's the end of March. It's shutting down.
I think that's like shortly before they're launching the expansion on PC.
Mm. And so I do think that it's a double-edged sword because they listen to gamers and the result is a better game. But then you get weird stuff like Mass Effect where like maybe the fans were like a little bit too
loud. You didn't put that in there.
No, there was a few suggestions for ones we could have put in that I didn't. And that's one I just didn't think about.
Didn't think about it.
That's why the headline is just six of the biggest reversals.
If you pay a lot of...
I think to argue the case, right, like compared to those, I think Mass Effect wasn't one of the biggest, right? Right? Those are bigger reversals than Mass Effect.
Mass Effect was a pretty big deal, I thought.
You're right. Mass Effect's, the brouhaha about the ending was a big deal. What they changed wasn't. Mm. Here are some stills at the end, and Rex went on to do this, and then in Vietnam, like, no, it didn't matter.
I forget, with that one, did they actually say, no, we're not changing it, and then change that? I forget if they basically stopped threatening us to die.
Threatening us to die.
I mean, that's the thing. We really had to find examples where there are great quotes that they eventually went back on. Right. There were things that, like, oh, we feel like they switched course on that, but we couldn't find, like, the one quote that they ended up eventually totally, you know, reversing on.
But we do have one from BioWare.
Yeah. For Star Wars: The Old Republic.
That's one of my. That's a funny one too. I think
that launched as a subscription with a subscription model. Mm-hmm. They said at the time the game was too big and too rich to go free to play.
Yep.
But less than a year later, it did go free to play.
There will never be a game this big and this full featured that will be free to play. Was their quote.
Yeah.
And they did have some grand plans there where they were going to trot out new content at a rate that they felt they needed subscription dollars to pay for. But it just didn't work out for them because they didn't have enough endgame content when they launched, so people burned through it and stopped subscribing. So they're like, oh crap, we don't have the momentum we need to carry this forward. Throw the emergency free to play switch with it, which they must have had all along, like as a backup plan.
Yeah, it's hard to know like how many whether they did. There must have been someone somewhere that drew up some free to play battle plan and had some vision for like how
in
it was
case of
look.
Emergency break glass. Yes.
Exactly. And I do think that game, like almost every MMO that goes free to play, they revealed that it made two or three times more money. You know, switching to a freemium model. That seems to be how it always goes.
What's going on with that game these days? Are people still playing that?
I mean, it's still, you know, well played, I think.
That's the big new space battle.
That's right, and I think we just showed some footage of that where they've got, like, actual free space flight. And they had added in, you know, kind of corridor space flight that's kind of similar to the old Rebel Assault games. But now you've got, like, free space flight where you can actually dogfight somebody.
Now, one of the biggest one, maybe to me, was sort of sandwiched in the middle here, and that's obviously Microsoft and the Xbox One.
Yep.
Right? Announcing their console, announcing their always online plan, no use games, and then reversing, 13 days later?
Yeah, 13 days later.
It was just, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just such a crazy, it's like the more distance we get from this, the bigger it feels to me, not smaller. Like, it's just wild that they spent all of E3 doubling down. It's going to be. Like, this is our vision, and this is why it's important, and this is why it's impossible for us to change it. And Major Nelson took the mic away from Angry Joe and said, no, here's why you can't just flip a switch and take out the DRM. And then they flipped the switch and took out the DRM.
I mean, for me, it feels like in situations like that, there's got to be, like, a really strong internal divide at these companies where there's a group that's like, really strongly in favor of it, and they've won out, you know, to the point where it's announced that they're going to do it this way, and then... Like then the public reaction comes along and the group that was opposed to it gets enough ammunition that it's like, oh, okay, we can reverse that. And when they do that, they do take a big kind of black eye publicly because they look uncertain, and anytime you're uncertain of your own product, there's, you know, potential for disaster. But,
and I do want to point out, I mean, there's a certain group of people that actually liked Microsoft's plans a lot, original plans for the Xbox One. The family sharing seems super cool. A lot of that seems super cool. The general consensus is, again, this is a flip-flop that made for a more consumer-friendly product.
That's true.
I think most people probably feel that way. So
I mean, the subtext here on all of this is the old adage, never say never. Right. That's the whole point. It's when you come out and you're like, this will never happen, then you're immediately shooting yourself in the foot.
Right.
And like, I won't say I'll never kiss Dan Stapleton. Might happen.
I'm only a man. You don't have any plans to kiss Dan Stapleton.
Right, but right now, there's no papers drawn up for it.
The moment you say you're never going to, that's when we catch you in a closet.
Well, I do on camera.
That's when we're not required to let HR know. That's when the monetary incentives come in, and then we start to negotiate. But
when the Greg Miller subscription plan drops, that's when I throw in the kiss to play.
Yep. And I think with the SimCity one, one of the things that I thought was kind of important about that was on that quote where it was like, no, it's impossible. Right. That quote was on a response to a kind of ask Lucy Bradshaw thing they did on Twitter. Lucy Bradshaw was the GM of Maxis at the time.
No longer.
General manager. Yeah. Well, now she's a VP at EA. But so they asked her, you know, is this possible? And she said, and she kind of off the cuff said, no, it's not possible. On the same day, she had given an interview where she had said, it's not possible without a huge amount of engineering work.
But there are multiple quotes. Like, they also said, like, online is baked into the core from the beginning of what we wanted the SimCity to be.
And that is true. But saying that it's impossible was a definite screw up that she should not have said and probably did not intend to say.
And it is,
huge screw up.
Now, one of these got you in some hot water with developer David Jaffe.
Industry darling David Jaffe.
Yeah. I like David Jaffe, and that's what did make me feel a little bad about it.
Creator of Twisted Metal and Calling All Cars.
Thank you. Thank you for calling out the real game here, Calling All Cars.
I like Calling All Cars.
I love Calling All Cars. No, there's no. I'm not being sarcastic right now.
See, you may remember there was a new Twisted Metal, like a reboot, that was released, 2011 when that came out?
12.
But it was announced in 2010 at E3?
I think it was 12.
It was 2012 when it came out, I don't remember the exact E3, but right leading up to E3, there were rumors, right? And people asked him about it, and he just openly denied. What was his quote?
Fan asked him on Twitter, hey, are you working on Twisted Metal? He said, no, I'm not making Twisted Metal, and I'm not going to be at E3.
He says flat out, we are not making that game. And then on the E3 stage,
he came out in an ice cream truck.
Yeah, I was there. I was at that conference.
I was there too. We should have talked.
We didn't know each other yet.
I know, right? Crazy.
This is the one that a lot of people took issue with in the comments, and Jaffe himself took issue with, saying that it wasn't on the level of the other ones. Like, someone denying that they're making a game isn't the same as the rest of them, because people deny they're making games all the time.
Right.
My argument is most people just keep their mouth shut.
Right, like we have nothing to announce at this time, something like that. But he flat out said, we are not making this game.
Right, and that's what got under my skin a little bit was, and because he wasn't even talking to the press. A lot of people are like, oh, since he didn't want to play into IGN's sort of press plans, that now you're just like thumbing it back at him. And I'm like, well, it wasn't a member of the press. It was just a random fan. And it rubbed me the wrong way a little bit. And I can separate. I got a lot of tweets from people saying, man, you and Jaffe have some bad blood between the two of you. I'm like, that's totally not true. Like, I'm the type of person that'd be like, I didn't like this thing you did. I still like your games and I still like you. And he said the same thing to me. He's like, hey, well, I disagree with you about this and this and this, but I still don't think you're a bad guy. So
sure, you're talking about one issue here, and that's why I thought it was awesome to see you both come to a conclusion. The problem with Twitter, again, is it's 140 characters. Anytime you disagree, it looks like you're arguing with somebody when you're really just like, eh.
I do. I think most game developers, like, we don't know, like, I don't know what Rockstar San Diego is working on. I don't know what Sony Santa Monica are working on, but they're not telling people, we're not making this game. They're just keeping their heads down and working on what they're working on. Like, you don't need to have a denial. Like, you don't need to have a lie come out of your mouth in order to keep a surprise or keep something a secret, in my opinion.
I thought it was interesting, and, you know, when Jaffe was talking to you on Twitter, he was talking about the fact of, lie, and I'd do it again. And I respect that, like, totally. Just, like, he is a developer that tries to answer so many fans that his argument was, right, like, if he didn't answer that one fan, it would have looked weird to that guy. Maybe that does turn into a news story. And it's like, there's something said for that. When we did Beyond 300 and people were asking Shuhei if he'd come in for Beyond 300, we wanted to keep that a surprise. Sure. So Shuhei was just like, I am in London. He was just super, super obtuse about it. And like, not so much as saying I'm not going, but being very like.
It is a very fine line.
Yeah.
There is an art to stonewalling people. And you know, we get that all the time whenever we ask a developer, hey, what are you working on?
They're like, we don't comment on rumor and speculation.
Yeah, it's like, we're working on something. Can't say what it is. Can't say when we'll announce it. Sorry.
His point was that he considers himself an entertainer. He wants to delight his fans. And by sending that tweet that, you know, IGN and other news outlets picked up, then him coming, you know, riding out on the ice cream truck and stuff was more delightful and surprising to the fans.
Right, yeah, it wasn't on anybody's E3 prediction list because it had been debunked, so we thought.
I do think, again, this whole article is about taking the quote and then matching it against reality, and it was funny to butt the two up against each other.
And again, I think it's funny in the fact that the article was supposed to be funny, right? Like, this isn't like, you bastards!
<Gotcha. laughs> And it was funny seeing the two IGN articles from 2011, that were 6 weeks apart. You know, no Twisted Metal in development. Twisted Metal announced.
The last one here is Resident Evil 4, originally announced as a GameCube exclusive. director Shinji Mikami said at the time, if Resident Evil 4 hit any platforms other than GameCube, he would cut off his own head.
And in 2014, he did.
How many heads does he have? He's got to cut a few off.
It was ported to PlayStation 2 less than a year later. Yeah. It
came out on PC.
Yeah, it's on PC now. So.
To be fair, he did end up...
cutting his own head off.
Well, he had bad blood with the company. Like, I'm sure it wasn't his decision.
Yeah, he probably didn't want it. But yeah. Also, there's some belief that was actually a mistranslation.
Yeah, I mean, that's
all. I'll cut off your head. He's now out of this, serial killer age.
What year did that game come out? 2002?
No
way, really? I would have said 2005. I remember playing it on PS2 apartment after
I
want
to say 2004, but let's go ahead.
That's probably
right. Well, I mean, the point is, you might be right, 2004. It was almost a decade ago, and it was translated from Japanese, and some people think he was probably being, a little... He's obviously not really going to cut off his head, and it's like he's just really emphasizing. He's just really emphasizing the fact that this is not going to come to other platforms. Yeah.
What's the Japanese way to misuse the word literally?
Right. I'm going to literally cut off my own head, but I mean that figuratively.
Anyway, that is IGN's number one article of the week.
Congratulations,
good
Justin.
Job, Justin.
You get a Christmas ham.
I like that article a lot. I try not to write negative stuff on IGN. I want to be like a celebration of games. So it makes me feel a little bit weird that I'm poking at these companies that were mostly doing changes to improve their game. But I hope people appreciate that it was just kind of in fun and funny to laugh at their older quotes.
Yeah, and again, I think it's a positive thing because it's highlighting these companies are willing to look at what people actually want and do that. Even though they have said, we don't want to do that, okay, you guys want it, we'll give it to you.
Just never say never.
Right.
All right, moving on. Nope.
What?
You said,
I don't know, you just got really, it was very serious.
Well, is this a serious story?
No, it's not really that
serious. Okay, good.
This week, Microsoft acquired the rights to Gears of War. From Epic.
No, that's Jurassic Park. That's
it's an epic song, though, so when something epic happens.
Development duties are now handed over to Black Tusk, so at least now we know what they're working on.
So who the heck is Black Tusk?
They were a fairly new studio who hasn't made a game yet, right? Yep. And they were tasked with creating the next Halo for Microsoft.
Well, not literally the next Halo, but
big franchise for Microsoft.
Right. They had a teaser trailer at E3 2013 for their new project.
It showed some guys scaling down a building in black suits and breaking in through a window, and that was about it.
Yeah, I don't think it had a title even, an official title. Right. One sort of leaked out since then.
Yeah, guys scaling down the building in a black suit.
Yeah, there was no title. We just called it Black Tusk Game in all of our notes. Yeah. There was nothing really on it.
Some more details have come out about that since. It was going to be in Shanghai and yada yada, but we didn't know that at the time.
So this keeps the Gears of War franchise exclusive to Microsoft.
Yeah.
Keeps
it doesn't. Nothing has changed in that regard.
Yeah.
Well, what's changed is that they own it now, just like Halo.
Well, yeah, and the developer, and they always owned Halo. Or not always. They owned it as soon as they bought Bungie. But when Bungie left Microsoft, it was Halo stayed with Microsoft.
Sure.
So it's changing developers from Epic. And to be fair, it kind of already did. It changed with Judgment. That was developed by formerly People Can Fly, now Epic Poland or wherever. Uh-huh. But it was a different development team that made it. Now it's going to change development teams again to Black Tusk. Mm-hmm. So that will change, but it's still going to be exclusive to Microsoft just like it always has been.
They also got Rod Ferguson, former director of production.
Yeah, that's almost crazier. So Rod's had quite the year, I guess, actually, at Epic, left Epic to go to 2K, and was not there very long. I don't have the exact timeline, but he was only there a few months, and then left to now rejoin, not Epic, but rejoin...
Gears of War.
Yeah, rejoin Gears of War at a new studio. Mm.
So at least we'll have...
And they didn't get Cliffy B.
Right. Well, he's out.
He's out.
Were they trying?
I don't think so. Okay. I mean, I'm just saying, just so people are clear that...
Cliff's got a gold-plated moat. Yeah, yeah. So he doesn't care.
He put up a blog post saying, I'm not working on it, I'm not consulting on it.
Yeah.
I think these guys are great. Let's see what they do.
No, I don't think they tried to get him. I'm just letting folks know.
I'm sure they asked.
Hey, you want to come back? Yeah. Make games? Nope.
Totally
happy.
He invented some new type of floating gold that can somehow go on his golden boat.
What's going on with Epic? There's been some talk that they might even just be getting out of development entirely.
I mean, it's hard to do when you got Fortnite burning.
Yeah.
Because that game is just all assets in, I'm sure.
And
that game looks cool. I don't know. It's too bad that...
That one teaser trailer
never
they got.
Come out.
I thought it looked cool, too.
They're becoming more and more a technology company as they go. But, I mean, they still have the People Can Fly team. Yeah. So they've got to be working on something, right? So they've got to have you know, they would lay all these people off if they were no longer making games. They've got their big technology wing.
But there's obviously something, you know, over 2013, or it might have even started in 2012, there must have been a big, big shakeup there. All their senior creative people left.
Yep.
But they left on good terms. They just say, you know, we're kind of done doing this now. We're going to go do other stuff. And so what seems likely to me is that they're like, hey, Unreal Engine is what makes all of our money. Let's really focus on this engine and become, you know, that's the company we want to be. We don't want to be in the business of AAA game development, would be my guess. That's all speculation just based on, you know, why would all their creative folks leave otherwise?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, they still obviously have teams there. So I don't think they're done. I think they probably did have a big change of direction, and you know, maybe the old guard wanted to move on, but I don't think we've seen the last Epic game.
I'm just noticing the Gears of War logo just fits right in with the GameScoop set back there. It's
hard to believe that we didn't get it when we bid on the property Gears of War. But
we were beat out by Microsoft.
Well, we were close number two, I heard.
I like the topic you were throwing around about Nintendo possibly buying it.
This comes from
that would have been awesome.
This comes from a listener. Did I have the email here still? One of our listeners wrote in asking if we thought Nintendo should have bought Gears of War, the franchise.
That would have been crazy.
It would have been real weird. Yeah. I think that would have been a poor fit myself.
So now Black Tusk will be making the next Gears of War game, which I just want to put this out there. If it's called Gears of War 4, I just made a mock-up of a little logo here.
This is your new thing, huh? This is your new thing, is making logos and stuff.
This is a free one from Microsoft. You want to go ahead and use this one?
Can we just use 4 Gears 4 of War?
I feel like I missed my calling. I should just be come up with cheesy corporate puns.
Terrible pun game headlines.
Yeah.
You gotta stop giving these away for free. Damon, if you're good at something, never give it away for free.
Joker. That's what the Joker said.
Have we covered all this, or do you wanna anything else we wanna mention on this?
We didn't talk about the Mad World trailer, remember that when they did
All around me
are friends. Dom's running. Oh, the Gears of War trailer.
I thought you meant the game Mad World that came out for the Wii.
I remember that thing. Jeez, remember that. This is gonna be Buck Bozon, everybody, and this is gonna be the best game ever. Fuck you, Bozon.
I love you, Bozon.
I do wonder how the folks at Black Tusk feel about working on Gears. Like, on the one hand, this new team came together to make a brand new thing. Yeah. Like, they were on this whole creative new project. Now they're handed this kind of old franchise. So on the one hand, it's a little disappointing. But the flip side is Gears is one of the absolute biggest properties in games. Yeah. And so that also could be really exciting. So
it's like if you're not going to get to work on your own thing, getting like something that is virtually a guaranteed success is...
It'd be interesting to be a fly on the wall at that studio and know like whether they're excited or bummed that they have to, you know, put their own creative sort of juices on hold a little bit for their project.
I mean, maybe they aspire to the Bungie route. It's like do really well with this franchise and then you get to go off and do your own thing.
They can alternate.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I love Gears. It's one of those things where, like, I played it. I didn't actually play Judgment. I played 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved them, but I kind of felt like I had my fill. Like, I hope they mix up the formula and really make it feel different.
Well, they've got to do something new for Xbox One. Like, they've got so much to play with. If they're developing something exclusively for Xbox One, there's going to be some kind of change up. I wholeheartedly, I believe that. I don't have anything to back that up.
It didn't seem like Judgment made much of a splash. I mean, I think it got...
Mitch loved it.
I think it sold well and got good reviews, but just doesn't... I don't hear people talking about it.
Yeah, you never hear people
remembering it fondly, you know.
Right.
We will follow Black Tusk very closely in whatever they're working on with Gears of War. Now, there's a console called the PlayStation 4.
Heard of it.
Does it have
news to me.
Tell me more.
There's a new rumor going around that it could be getting... It's the fourth PlayStation. There's been four of them so far.
I have to fact check this.
It doesn't have backwards compatibility, though.
Right.
But there's a rumor going around that could be getting PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2 game emulation built into the console with an update. Now, earlier this month, they announced PlayStation Now.
Right.
Which is the Gaikai streaming service, right?
Cloud-based streaming service,
Stream PlayStation 3 games, maybe older games than that.
When they came out in that February event to announce the PlayStation 4 and they talked about the power of Gaikai, they were broad about it, but they made it sound like any PlayStation, they said anything from the PlayStation library one day could be played this way. Then when they actually announced PlayStation Now, they came out and said the very vague classic PlayStation titles and then showed Last of Us and a couple other PS3 games, Beyond Two Souls and stuff. Mm. So we are in this weird thing of like, it's a rumor right now, right? This emulation business. And do we really need it if PlayStation Now could do all of this? I don't understand.
Would you rather stream a PlayStation 1 game or just, you know, emulate it natively?
Well, last time I checked, it's 2014, so I don't give a crap about the old games. But if I was PlayStation, I'd want to launch PlayStation Now with as many awesome games as possible. So you say...
It's interesting that you say that, because this is actually the number two article on IGN for this week.
I know, we got a bunch of nerds.
It seems like people are interested in playing retro games on their PS4.
I think we could drop something there, Damon. I think people are interested in playing games on their PlayStation 4. You know what I mean?
Which is why I'm excited to hear that Outlast is coming next month.
I know, free in PlayStation Plus.
I'll play that for sure.
But with you know, using Gaikai technology, they could literally stream anything to your PS4, any game. Like they
Nintendo Award. That's the barometer. Yeah. As far as you can get from each other.
they could stream, like, well, if they had the rights to it, they could stream a Nintendo game to your PS4 if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. So, like, it doesn't matter what system it came out on, as long as they just have the rights to do it.
Right. It's like, but the question is latency. Right.
The experience level is where you want to go emulation instead of streaming.
So it's possible they could do something like PlayStation Now for, you know, like I bought and replayed Grandia on my PS3. So like an RPG like that where like the latency isn't such a big deal. Suikoden I bought on PSN as well.
Be very interested to know if the emulation they have planned, if they actually do have it planned, would allow you to put a PS1 or PS2 disc into your PS4 and play it off of there.
Almost certainly not.
Right.
I think you're going to buy it from the store.
That would be another big factor whether I would be interested in doing that as opposed to streaming it.
I don't think, is that even possible? Like, because that'd mean the hardware would have to already be in place. Like,
not necessarily. I mean, like the hardware to actually read the disc. I'm not sure exactly how that works. Greg, do you know
it was a CD for PS1 and then a DVD for PS2.
They weren't regular CDs, right?
Like, right.
They weren't like your audio disc or anything.
They were handled a little bit differently, but I would be surprised if Sony, I mean, like, especially if we're hearing about this now, like, that they didn't have that planned ahead of time and enough that they could make that hardware work.
The emulation, go ahead.
For me, it just seems like a weird thing to do. Like, you have a service that is built around streaming older games, why wouldn't you do that? Like, you know what
I mean?
Because
streaming doesn't work for everybody. It doesn't work reliably.
Sure, but you want people to buy it, and you want people to get in on that floor. You know what I mean?
Like, it's two competing services. I was going to say the exact same thing as you, that this announcement struck me as strange because they just announced and pushed PlayStation Now.
Right.
And so it undermines PlayStation Now.
It does and it doesn't. I mean, I think
it does.
I mean, this isn't a big announcement from Sony. This is a rumor that we're hearing. Yeah. So like, they're like disappointed that this is getting out there now.
I think even when they roll out PlayStation Now, it won't be great for everybody everywhere, right? Yeah. So if they still want to be able to sell stuff to people who want that, you know, sense of ownership for a game, or you know, if they want if they do have a problem with latency on their streaming, like for slow paced games, streaming is great. For fast-paced games, not so much.
Maybe it'll be... Now, this is crazy.
Cray-cray.
This is cray-cray. Maybe these two are going to be this part of the same service.
Could be.
So, look, if you're on a poor connection or for certain more Twitch-based games, you know, they'll let you download and emulate the game. But if that's not a problem for you at all and bandwidth isn't a problem, then you can just stream the game on the fly.
Well, what these reports are also saying is that the emulation has the added bonus of enhanced visuals. So it won't have the blurry upscaling that we saw when you played a PS1 game on your PS3.
Okay, so in that case, they would almost certainly require you to rebuy it.
Right.
Which takes some of the excitement out of it. I mean, you know, coming from PC gaming, one of the things I love about that is, like, I can play anything that's been made. Even going back to DOS days, I can fire up DOSBox and play that.
I totally agree. That's part of the reason why I'll buy games on Steam that I don't have plans to play, just because I feel like that feels more forever than buying a game on a console that you'll have to rebuy every time.
This game.
Yeah. and it's, you know, it's more yours than if you were renting it from a streaming service.
Sure.
Because you would have to, if you don't pay your subscription to that, you lose it. Whereas on Steam, it's yours until Valve explodes.
Right.
Which is soon.
Well, anyway, if we can confirm these rumors, PS1, PS2 game emulation coming to PS4, we'll let you know right here at IGN Games Group. Now, an Xbox One rumor. We're hearing that a new patch could improve the graphical performance of the Xbox One.
The graphics!
By redistributing resources that are reserved for Kinect, bringing those up for the graphical performance.
So I guess the idea was that Microsoft mandates that developers must maintain a 10% reserve for Kinect.
Yeah, 10% is reserved for the Kinect.
Right. Yeah, the GPU.
Right. So it's like 8% of that is for video functionality, yes. So it can recognize what you're moving around, and 2% is for voice command recognition.
Yes.
And I guess what they're talking about doing is removing the video requirement. So yeah. Like
freeing that up so that you can use it for graphics processing.
Or giving them the option to use
sure.
it. So if your game does not use motion sensing, then you don't have to maintain that reserve. Which you know that could help make up some ground against the pretty clear advantages the PS4 seems to have in graphics hardware, but probably not all of it because
8% of it.
Yeah. Well, no.
Sure.
Getting closer to the goal.
Right.
That's how math works, right?
Yeah.
Can we just talk about how pretty Tomb Raider is for a second?
Well, I also just want to point out these comparison videos that we put together are awesome. I think Destin does those. They look amazing.
I think Mike Horn does them.
It still looks awesome.
Destin sucks. He can never do anything.
Okay, sorry. It's just the worst.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
But yeah, because the PS4 is just inherently the hardware is better. Like they have faster RAM is the big determination there.
And there's more TFLOPs in the graphical processor right. and all that stuff.
Right. So it does have a pretty it's not a huge advantage, but it's enough to make the difference here. And like that, so you're never going to close that gap until people get really good at optimizing, and they're probably going to get good at optimizing both at the same time. So who knows if the Xbox will ever catch up. But this will make it a little bit less of a gap.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole deal. Like, when these two consoles came out, there were all kinds of stories. Mainly Call of Duty was the big one, where that game was running at a lower resolution on the Xbox One, and that's a story we've been hearing over and over again. The Xbox One's not as powerful. But, like, the only thing that really determines how true that is just time. Like, more time goes on and developers learn to optimize, and you find out, man, there really is a big gap there. Or developers figure out, you know, how to use the Xbox One hardware, and that gap starts to close. And like now, we're seeing on games like Tomb Raider, look and run better on the PS4, and more games that come out, it is becoming clearer and clearer that there is an actual significant gap between the power level of these two consoles. And so, 8% boost in GPU power, like that's nothing to sneeze at. Although it does mean that if a game uses a Kinect fully, it'll have to add that GPU power back in, right?
And it won't be able to.
So Kinect games can never look quite as good as non-Kinect games.
I don't know about it. Depends on how what you think looks good, right? A lot of that is going to be visual style, and you can do a lot. Like maybe a game that strives to be photorealistic isn't going to be able to be as good looking on the Xbox One as the PS4.
So if they ever do sell a Kinectless Xbox One,
it sounded dirty.
I know.
Why?
Kinectless Xbox One.
I don't know. It did. Can't explain it.
Thanks, Dave.
One of the mysteries.
I just wonder what that would mean.
Greg, how are you splitting your time between your PS4 and Xbox One these days?
I turn on my Xbox One every day to watch TV and watch movies. And then when I want to play games, I say Xbox off and then turn my TV back on and turn on the PlayStation 4.
I had a similar experience where my Xbox One is my primary Netflix player these days.
Right, yeah. Right.
And then at one point I said aloud to myself, I was like, I kind of feel like playing a game, Xbox turn off. And then I realized what I had said. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah. I mean, part of that, though, I was talking to a friend yesterday at lunch, and it was right. I've been coming off this DC Universe Online binge, and I'm ready to move on to something else now. And so now I'm finally ready to really commit time to Dead Rising and really commit time to that Power Golf game I like so much. But like, those are games that I
Peggle 2? Have you played all that?
I played a lot of Peggle 2, but I like Peggle 2 as a distraction. So it's more like if I want to watch something, probably like watch something and then have it up in the corner of the little TV and then be playing down there. But like, I think I'm ready for another giant open world game, that'll be Dead Rising.
Dead Rising is good fun.
These are games I bought at launch and then just got distracted by Assassin's Creed and this, that, and the other, and now I'm ready to come back.
Do you have a co-op buddy?
No.
You need a co-op buddy for that game.
Sure. It's everybody so hit me up on fun. Twitter, Game Over Greggy. Let me know if you want to play Dead Rising co-op.
So much more fun in co-op.
Okay.
It just even dumber fun than normal.
Well, these, you know, the more games that come out where the Xbox One version seems to be graphically inferior, like it's not good for Microsoft, right?
Yeah.
I think that's pretty indisputable, yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, the reverse was true. The reason I'm cautious, like, every indication is that the PS4 is more powerful. But last generation, for years, PS3 games ran worse than Xbox 360 games because people developed for the 360 first and then would, you know, port over to the PS3. And so that's why, like, I agree. Like, it sounds like the PS4 is more powerful, but I am a little bit more cautious than it sounds like most people on the internet are. Because
it's also,
who knows what things will look like in 2 or 3 years.
It's also kind of a consideration that, yes, when we put these side-by-side videos up where you can see exactly what they look like on both systems, it's like, oh, yeah, the PS4 looks better. But if you just walk into to a room while somebody's playing Tomb Raider on the Xbox One, mm-hmm. it looks pretty good.
Right.
Even like from like last gen to this gen, like right. I saw Assassin's Creed 4 on the 360. I'm like, man, this game looks great. And I saw it on the PS4, and I'm like, this game looks great. And like, I couldn't pinpoint the things after seeing them, but then when you put them next to each other, right. it's really noticeable.
Right. And you talk about, like, I'm sorry, what I've been playing games-wise and how it's broken down, right? Like, I guess it's either I turn off the Xbox and turn on PS4 for DC, or I turn on the PS3 and play Minecraft. Like, there's so much more about it than graphics, right? Like, I'm not worried about it at all. Like, oh my god, you're telling me that Titanfall might have looked better if it was on? Well, it's not on the PlayStation 4, so why do I even care? I want to play Titanfall.
You know? I can't wait for the side-by-side Xbox One, PlayStation 4, Minecraft. We're going to have to do one of those.
Yeah, we should.
Just for laughs.
All right, a follow-up from a conversation we had last week about Elder Scrolls Online. We talked a lot about how, what does it matter?
I was right, I called it, that's what.
Yeah, you were right about it. We talked a lot about the subscription fee, how we think it's a little strange that they're going with the subscription model in the year 2014, because now to play multiplayer games on PlayStation 4, you have to subscribe to PS Plus. So we wondered if that was going to be required for...
Greg Miller didn't wonder. Greg Miller knew.
Elder Scrolls Online. We've found out since then that it's confirmed you do not need to subscribe to PS Plus to play Elder Scrolls Online on your PS4. You just need to pay $60 and then $15 a month.
Right.
But they also confirmed that you do have to subscribe to Xbox Live Gold on the Xbox One. So it's just like, it's another thing that people are going to complain about
right.
the Xbox One.
But I mean, it is, but also, like Justin was saying earlier, it's like that's not a real world problem. Because how many people don't have an Xbox One and don't have Gold?
Or even if you do, how many people want to play Elder Scrolls Online and don't have Xbox Live?
That's
Gold?
Yeah, I think that's
like, very few.
The Venn diagram starts breaking down.
It does. Yeah. I mean, Damon's completely right that. You know, people love to pounce on the tiniest little tidbit of bad
Xbox
One news. ZOMG,
PlayStation 4 wins generation.
Oh, you're using the Sam Claiborne.
That's not a Sam Claiborne thing. The commentary voice goes back long before Sam Claiborne's time.
I mainly hear it from Sam these days.
Yes. Well, that's maybe like Sam, open your ears and listen.
Why is IGN so biased?
Yeah. Sam that's is the keeper of the voice.
I completely lost my train of thought. Oh, just that people will hop on any piece of bad Xbox One news, and this is just yet another little thing that doesn't make them look good.
But it's just not a practical concern. I would actually really like to know, and I'm sure Microsoft will never tell me, but I would really like to know how many people own an Xbox One and do not subscribe to Live.
We used to get stats on how many Xbox 360s had never been connected to the internet. And I'm shocked how many. Do they still have the original UI?
Yeah.
Like,
well, yeah.
The blades?
They would have
the UI that was on the box when they bought it, which is, you know, who knows when they bought it.
But. They would have a UI that's not filled with ads.
Right. But with Xbox One, you have to plug it in at least once, so...
But that, to be fair, that's to download the DRM removing patch.
It is, yes.
I think that game looks great. By the way,
I can't wait.
Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just not that enthused about it. I don't know.
It's Skyrim with friends. Like I'm totally into that.
It's not though.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's kind of not. It's an MMO. Like so, my thing about Elder Scrolls Online is the hype level is so low. Like people are really down on that game. But I think that's because they're comparing it to Morrowind and Skyrim and Oblivion, but they should be comparing it to other MMOs.
But it's kind of a contradictory thing, right? Because they're making a Skyrim or an Elder Scrolls MMO because they want to get the Elder Scrolls fans to subscribe to it, not because they want WoW fans to subscribe to it. I mean, they want both. But
I've had it described as a generic MMO set in the Elder Scrolls that happens to be set, you know, in Tamriel.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know. I'm in the mood for a new MMO. And I think this one looks like a fun, polished one. Like,
it just didn't work for Star Wars. Like I think this has
but it works for Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, but it's going to depend a lot on the mechanics and just the buzz coming off the mechanics from the MMO pros is not good yet.
I don't know.
There is time for them to turn around, and I do think they do have an advantage over the Old Republic in that. The end game seems much more thought out. Who knows if it'll actually be good, but it's much more thought out.
Most of the complaints that I'm hearing are from people like, oh, you're used to being the world's most powerful badass, and this world is your sandbox, and now you have 100 other dudes all bunny hopping around you and killing the dudes you're trying to kill. And I'm like, that's not a complaint of this. That's just a complaint of expecting it to be Skyrim. Like, this is a massively multiplayer game.
Right. That's the I don't like this genre, not I don't like this game.
And so mechanically, I mean, I agree. But even that, every single time they release a new beta, it sounds like, you know, a lot of the problems people are having are improved. I guess for me personally, I'm in the mood for a new huge MMO. I'm in the mood for a console MMO for some reason, and so I feel like this is gonna be my game.
My general view on it at this point is Maybe I'll wait like 6 months and let them iron out all the launch problems
and go free to play.
Yeah, let it go free to play.
And probably go free to play. But like I give it less than a year before it goes free to play.
I was gonna ask, like, Star Wars, arguably the biggest license in the world, had to go free to play in less than a year.
Man, yep.
I hope. Yeah, but the Star Wars free to play model is trashy. It really is. It's bad. Like, I hope Elder Scrolls Online, like, I'd happily pay $50 a month to not have to think about spending money when I'm playing the game. Like, oh, I only get 2 auction slots. Oh, half my bags are locked and I have to pay $3 to open my bags. And I don't know. I don't like that stuff.
I read some numbers today. 93% of all mobile game revenues are now from free-to-play games.
Yeah.
That means, like, for paid games that you, like, buy once and then you own the game, that's only 7% of the market now.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's crazy.
It's over. It's coming to consoles, too.
Yeah. It's crazy. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Or the fans. Does it work if I say, let's check in with the fans?
Hey, fans.
Well, they're watching, not just like listening.
It? That's what I'm saying.
Check out viewers. But they listen to it still, right?
So yeah, but like, yeah, this comes back in the day when it was just an audio podcast. Right. Like, what do we say now that encompasses everybody?
Viewers.
Y'all.
But that's not everybody, I guess.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
I think you should stick with it.
Let's check in with y'all. Just keep saying listeners. Yeah. Just because it's
everybody, thing. We've decided, well, as listeners, we understand you might be watching this at home.
But multi-sensory perceivers.
Listeners still works because it's impossible to enjoy GameScoop without listening. Whether you're watching it or not, you're also...
These Justin, sexy faces
we are
and bodies?
Very you handsome. Can
mute it right now and tell me you don't enjoy this. No audio needed.
I think you're right, though, Greg. I think we should just keep saying listeners.
Listeners, so, done.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Listeners, remember you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com, just like Jacob Brown did.
Jacob Brown?
Says, dear GameScoop, I'm a fan of horror games, but it seems like the best horror games are always on PC. Is that true, Dan?
There's some damn good horror games on the PC.
Which I don't have access to. Are there any horror games to look out for coming to PlayStation 4?
Outlast.
Outlast is going to be free next month in February.
Sorry, go ahead.
There are a few other ones.
Yeah? Are you on the same wavelength as me? We've played it together at PAX's.
Dying Light.
Dying Light, I look.
Now that's
good.
Like, I don't know if he's looking for survival horror, but Dying Light falls into the horror genre. It's
Much
a zombie.
Zombies, yeah.
It's a zombie game. It's similar to Dead Island.
Yeah, it's Dead Island mixed with Mirror's Edge.
One?
Yeah.
The free running one.
Yep.
Yeah. That was fun. We had fun. And there's a whole Dan Knight mechanic where zombies are more dangerous at night. So that one looks pretty cool.
There's a plane mechanic in the trailer.
It's also also coming this year is Evil Within.
Right.
Which is the new
Bethesda.
Yeah. That game looks pretty messed up.
I don't know much about that one. What's that one?
You're like a cop investigating a, I think it's an abandoned like insane asylum, is that what it is? And there's some messed up stuff in it.
Oh really?
That one's the Shinji Mikami game.
Yeah. So apparently he didn't cut off his own head. Still making games.
I'm gonna make games.
I would rather not. This game's coming out this year.
I don't know if I've seen
if you haven't, we did finally get a gameplay trailer, but go back and watch the live action trailer too, because it's bananas.
It's just really gross and crazy. And then just recently announced is Alien Isolation.
Yes.
Which coming to several platforms. Is that coming this year?
I believe so. I could be wrong about that.
That one's supposed to be taking the Alien franchise into...
No, actually, I'm sure it's coming this year. It's late this year.
It's supposed to be taken into like more September. Of a survival horror
realm. It's based on Alien, not Aliens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's much more a horror movie. I guess the old saying is that Alien and Aliens are two different genres.
Yep.
Like, Alien is a horror movie. Aliens is a war movie.
Action movie. Yeah.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that.
And then the other Alien movies are just dumb. just don't even bother. I was surprised that people were excited about this, but just because Aliens Colonial Marines was such a debacle last year. Like, so soon after that, people were ready to be excited for another Alien game.
They got teased with what a great Aliens game could be.
It's also that this is in no way associated with that one. It's like this one is by an entirely different developer. It's a different genre. It's not.
Right, but I understand all that. We understand that. If you're watching GameScoop, you probably understand that. But there are people who think every Call of Duty is made by the same people. So this is literally being sold in the same vein the last one was sold in, right? Of like, it's a continuation of this series, and this is blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah.
Right, true.
So, there's 4 horror games coming to PlayStation 4.
I will play none of them.
What, really?
You're going to play OS? It's free!
I don't like spookies.
You get scared?
Yeah.
I know you remember saying you don't like to see horror movies.
No,
You saw The Conjuring, and you thought that was scary. I didn't think The Conjuring was scary.
Oh, my God.
They had some jump moments. I was when the lady jumped off the armoire onto the girl, I liked the...
When I was watching The Conjuring, I was like, the entire time, freaking out. They did the clapping behind her head.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious,
good scares,
no,
man.
It's not for me. Jamie likes the scary movies, and I won't watch them with her.
Yeah,
I will probably play all four of these games.
I might play Outlast. Seems like the caveat is that seems like it might be a fun game to stream.
Yeah,
and so on PS Plus, I might download it free and stream me crying like a little baby to people.
All right, before we go this week, should we read the first and only existing English review of Super Mario Brothers?
Yes, this is something that cropped up on, I think, Kotaku first today. And it came out of the Area 5 documentary.
What is this? I don't know what this is.
So Area 5.
Outerlands.
Yes, I know Outerlands. Sorry, yeah. I know Area 5. I don't understand what we're talking about.
They had found this this collector who had the first review of Super Mario Brothers. Comes from a magazine called Computer Entertainer / Video Game Update. I don't know why the magazine needs two titles.
I still subscribe to it.
And so it was this is the only English review of the original Super Mario Brothers.
Wow, that's weird. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a thing yet, right?
Sure. Like, sure.
So yeah, it's actually like printed out here. We have the
it's hard to believe it's been 10 years since plumbing came to be.
It's pretty interesting. I like, so it's Super Mario Brothers, and then the rating doesn't make any sense to
it's
me.
It's 3.5 out of 4 stars.
But they're diamonds. It's like 3.5 diamonds out of 4 diamonds.
There's a lot of really funny stuff about this review.
So I'll read the review here, if you'll allow me. Computer Entertainer / Video Game Update Magazine. Super Mario Brothers for the Nintendo Entertainment System features the familiar Mario character. I think that's interesting that think he's familiar.
Yeah, there was Mario Brothers before there was Super Mario.
Yeah, but was he like a household name?
Donkey Kong!
Like, yeah. Even in Donkey Kong, he was called Jumpman.
He was Jumpman.
Yeah.
He's the familiar Mario character.
In a whole new adventure so loaded with surprises and discoveries that it could take months to experience them all. In this game, Mario attempts to rescue Princess Toadstool, daughter of the Mushroom King, from imprisonment at the hands of the Koopa, a tribe of turtles famous for their black magic.
We looked it up, and that's from the instruction manual.
I have to imagine, like, you don't get this from the game, so what, they read the instruction manual?
Yeah, he read that, he's gone.
The Koopa have cast an evil spell over the Mushroom People, a spell which only Princess Toadstool can break. Mario's quest to save the princess is long and arduous. For him.
No!
For the game player, it's sheer delight. Likely accompanied by a worn-out finger or two. We had the feeling that we had barely touched the surface of this game after playing for hours, because each trip through the same region seemed to reveal new secrets of the game. Mario walks, runs, swims, and jumps his way through various worlds of the Mushroom Kingdom, avoiding the Koopa Troopa and other nasty creatures. There are countless ways that he can discover mushrooms that were made invisible by the Koopa Turtles, and running into them can be a rewarding experience. They think the point is to discover mushrooms that have been hidden? Like, the one up?
Astralized.
Yeah, you're in your...
So when you think about the very first time you hit a question mark block and a mushroom popped out...
Oh, the Koopa! The Koopa hid this mushroom in here.
With black
These
magic.
These bastards and their black magic.
It's such a rewarding experience to run into it.
These formerly invisible mushrooms can turn him into Super Mario, Fiery Mario, or Invincible Mario, at least until he bumps into a bad guy.
That's a star, not a mushroom.
Mushrooms don't turn you into Fire Mario.
I know. It's a fire flower that turns you into Fiery Mario, and it's a star that turns you invincible, and running into a bad guy doesn't make you lose your invincibility.
No, I'm like, you're not invincible if you lose it when you run into a bad guy.
It's like saying I'm bulletproof until somebody shoots me.
Yeah, they're getting their facts a little mixed up here.
And their logic.
There are coins to collect, too. A whole shower of them in one spot we found. They're good for points, and 100 of them earns you an extra Mario. The review goes on, but that's all the scan captured. I thought that was interesting.
I mean, that was obviously written by a young Steve Butts, so it's pretty good.
I think what's cool is that they, even at the time, they note the delight that they feel at playing the game, which is how we still talk about Super Mario Brothers today, if we were talking about why it's one of the greatest games ever made, right?
Yeah.
But is it really a game that it takes months to really
at the time?
Scroll? I mean, no internet, no game fact, right? You don't know.
At the time of Mario, even scrolling was a big deal. Most games are single screen.
The first time you hit, like, when the little tree goes up or whatever, you find, like, invisible blocks.
Find some vine to climb.
But aside from, like, the secret things, like, it could find...
No, they're not a savant like you, Dan, all right? They didn't, like, see the code of Mario as soon as they turned on.
Let me explain to you all the things wrong with this review.
That is my job.
All right, I think that's all the scoops we have for you this week. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address gamescoop@ign.com. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Greg. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out. Let me tell you.
to work, I get into my car, drive it out to Arlington, don't even think about it anymore. Sit in traffic with the other jerks, take exit 44, drive a half mile underground, and then I go to war. Got hired on a DARPA grant, a month-long fellowship, that was 1999, now I run the fucking ship. In my office there's a picture of the president and me. He's smiling for the camera, but only with his teeth. I thought it would be different in the Virginia underground. They said I'd make a difference, they said I should be proud. I wish I could remember, but I am not allowed. You'll never know what hit you, I'll never make a sound. Behind the sticks, just lighting up the map. Started double boxing it, so they sent me to Iraq. They put me up in the Sultan Suite at the Palestine Hotel. Got some fiber and an N15, and I started raining hell. Two Marines outside the door, and another on the roof. I never left the building once, but it sure beat the commute. By the time they shipped me home, I wasn't sleeping anymore. I got some pills from the Langley boys, and I started seeing stars. I thought it would be different in the Virginia underground. They said I'd make a difference, they said I should be proud. I wish I could remember, but I am not allowed. You'll never know what hit you, I'll never make a sound. Last night I had a dream about you, same as all the rest. Everything in black and white except your summer dress. Right there on a field of static moving down below. You're smiling for the camera, but I have to let you go. I thought it would be different in the Virginia underground. They said I'd make a difference, they said I should be proud. I wish I could remember, but I am not allowed. You'll never know what hit you, I'll never make a sound.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.